What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. Hope your week has been a great one. And every Friday, the theme here on the podcast, if you've been showing up, is how do we keep you at the top of your clinical edge? Well, one of the challenges you have is how do I communicate clearly with my hygienist? And how do we talk about data that improves the health of my patients and the health of the practice? Well, there's five numbers hygienists must track. And if you know these, it'll change your practice forever. And so I have an amazing coach on today. Her name is Ariel Jude, and she gives us the five numbers and why you have to track these on a regular basis. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. My job is to find the coolest experts, teachers, coaches anywhere in the world to help you improve your practice and your life. And we're going to go right there into hygiene. I know a lot of you work with some amazing hygienists, and you as a dentist, you don't like talking about numbers. And so your question might be, what numbers should we be looking at or track in hygiene? Well, there's five of them, and we're going to give them all to you today with an amazing coach, Ariel Jude, and she's going to take us right there. Ariel, thanks for being back on the podcast. I always appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be here, especially when we're talking numbers.
Yeah, so it's us. Now, I'm going to say this. For those of you that are listening and you don't know what we do, we're coaches. So you're thinking like, well, how do we know anything about this? This is all we do. And Ariel's one of our amazing pro coaches. She is also involved in a lot of other things like our office manager study club. And these are questions that come up. Now, one of the things that you should know is we don't coach practices that are necessarily broken. There are a few that are challenged, and our job is to help them. But most of the practices we coach are actually really good practices or great practices. And they're just looking at how do we break the ceiling and do a little bit better and have a little bit more life. So, Ariel, take us right there. We're going to be talking about the five numbers hygienists must track. But let's go high level. Why is this so important?
Well, I think we all know that our hygienists, they're not just caregivers. They play a vital role in the practice success. And sometimes we just don't know how successful our hygiene department really is if we're not tracking specific metrics related to their patient care that they're giving, right? And I think that if we can understand some of these metrics, we can help improve our patient care. Because, right, speaking of hygienists and numbers, they're like, wait a minute, those don't match. But it actually really does help us determine how our quality of care is holding up to our standard of care, right? And so a lot of the time we just have to start tracking some numbers, and then our hygienists can have overall better job satisfaction knowing that they're providing the highest quality of care possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the key words is healthier. So I want you to think about that. If you're a dentist and you're afraid to talk to your team, most specifically your hygienist, about numbers, it's not about money. It's about how do we create a healthier situation for the practice, also for patients. Could you imagine if you didn't probe periodontally, like, and you just guessed how patients were doing? No, you need to know numbers. And as you lean into this, you're going to see people respond really well. Your favorite team members, they love to talk about accountability. It's not about money. It's about creating a healthier situation. Wouldn't you agree, Ariel?
Absolutely, right? The number is the only way that we can measure our success on helping patients get healthier, overcoming those values, right? Or overcoming those barriers to improve on those values within care. But there, you can't say, are they healthy or are they not healthy, right? It's like, how can we continue to get them even healthier?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things to remember is what gets measured gets improved, but what gets measured and reported on regularly exponentially improves. So if you as a dentist or as a team member can set up a cadence where we're talking about a few things that move the needle for our patients in our practice, you're going to see them get exponentially better. So Ariel, take us there. What's the first number? Hygienist mustering.
I jumped ahead. I was getting excited.
Yeah.
I think the first one, right, is our periodontal diagnostic percentage, right? This is telling us before we can help patients get healthy, are we seeing it? Are we diagnosing it? Right. So we want to know what percentage of patients that we're seeing for hygiene are diagnosed with new periodontal treatment. Right. So we want to make sure that as those new patients are coming through, or maybe even existing patients who have slowly been decreasing in their health, right? Of are we diagnosing, are we seeing that with our new patients? It's really important that we're consistently diagnosing, not over-diagnosing, but consistently diagnosing periodontal disease so that we can ensure that our practice is identifying necessary treatment for our patients. This is ultimately going to lead to higher case acceptance, right? Higher revenue. But also, right, we want to get there as we're healthcare providers. If we fail to diagnose perio disease, it could result in legal risks and patient complaints if the conditions get worse and we never told them, right? We didn't give them a plan of action. So I really feel like it's our obligation to be able to diagnose it and see it and have those conversations.
Yeah. And so that's why it matters to the practice. So as a practice owner, you might be thinking, why? Well, that's why. Now I'm going to play devil's advocate. If I'm the hygienist, why is this important? Why does it matter to me that we track these numbers?
Well, as a hygienist, right, you went into the field to take care of and to help patients get healthier. And so early diagnosis allows for us to have that timely intervention, right? We can reduce the risk of things getting worse, of the tooth loss, right, and systemic health factors. So it really helps us to take care of our patients sooner if we're diagnosing it before it becomes serious.
Right.
Also, right, is our hygienist, we know that the higher perio rates, it allows for a mix of their schedule. And we know that they're most likely they are treating those services. They may just not be coding them. So we want to make sure that they're adequately scheduling appropriately.
Yeah. The old adage has been a lot of hygienists, they're really great and very well-intended, and they often think patients won't pay for this. So have you ever heard this one? We serve champagne, but we charge for water, you know, meaning we don't really charge them for the perio services, right?
Absolutely. I hear all the time, oh, my hygienists are great. I'm not saying they're not great. I'm saying that we're probably not getting paid for what they are doing for our patients. And our patients aren't understanding the value that they're really receiving from their hygienists.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, with costs going, well, let me start here. I want to go back to one thing that you said is, and this has been going on for decades. When you see more 4,000 codes in hygiene, it's really directly linked to the restorative schedule. Just like you shared, like you'll see people value your care. They'll get used to investing in their care. So it's just the tip of the iceberg. And ultimately, patients are getting healthier. Remember, that's the most important piece of this.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, I believe that patients trust our hygienists more than our doctors.
Yeah, so true. So true. The other thing too, and what I was going to say is costs are going up. They just are. And I think it's okay to have the conversation that hygienists do want to be paid a very good wage. And that is okay to have that conversation. It just has to work for the practice and the hygienist. And so if you do this right, you'll see it often lends itself to a very healthy, productive conversation between the dentist and the hygienist.
Absolutely, right? They come to you asking for, how can I, you know, make more financially? Let's figure out a way together, right, for that to help with the practice and the hygienist. And I think since we're talking numbers, we should give them some benchmarks.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Right? So, right, what is a good periodontal diagnosis percentage? That one depends on what, how many new patients you're seeing, right? The frequency of your current perio visits. But you can remember at least a good ratio for our hygiene patients. We should be seeing about 60% preventative, 30% periodontal, with 10% being active therapy. So those are the SRPs, right? The gingivitis therapy, more of that, whereas then the 30% goes into the maintenance stage.
Yeah. And so you'll see how Ariel has laid this out. This is one of the most important to start with, because the next one we're going to be talking about is what, Ariel?
Well, once we diagnose it, the goal is for our patients to accept it, right? So we want the periodontal treatment acceptance, and we want to do it based off of a percentage so that we know, okay, compared to what we're diagnosing, are we able to communicate in a way to speak to patients' values that they're able to receive the care that they need and deserve? So we're going to look at the patients that we've seen and diagnosed and how many are accepting. Now, accepting is going to be, did they complete it or did they schedule it? Acceptance doesn't mean, yes, yes, I'll go ahead and do it, right? It means, is it actually on the schedule? So I know the caveat's already coming is, well, they said they were going to do it, or they scheduled one of them, but not both of them.
Right.
Then only one of them, 50%, is accepted, right? That's the only true way to know, is if it's on our schedule.
Yeah. So, and then talk a little bit more about why it matters to the practice.
Well, I think right first is we want to keep our patients getting healthier. So a higher acceptance means that we're having a higher patient base who are receiving treatment. This is going to increase our production, right? And it's going to increase our perio maintenance visits. So if we're trying to keep our hygiene schedule full, right, we need to continue getting the patients circulating through our hygiene program.
Yeah.
It also, right, tells us how we're speaking to patient values. How are we overcoming barriers? Because if patients are not accepting treatment, right, that tells us that they're probably not following through with other treatment, which can then lead to patient dissatisfaction, right, legal exposure, and definitely higher disease progression.
Yeah. And you'll find if you have multiple hygienists, they're not all going to be the same in this category. In all of these numbers, some of them are going to be really good or really high numbers. Some of them may not. And this is where you can lean as a leader and say, what are you doing? And what are you saying? And where you can, you know, if you see a drop off with treatment acceptance, we can lean into verbal skills. Like, how are we describing that? Are we describing it all the same way? It's amazing the collective learning that you can do as a practice when you start to measure these things. So cool. Now, tell me a little bit more, like, why does it matter to me as a hygienist on the acceptance percentage?
Right. Well, hygienists, as we said, they're the educators. They're the caregivers, right? They're the ones helping really get our patients healthy. And so educating the patients on the importance of the treatment reduces the progression of the disease, because by the time we diagnose it, they already have it. And it's only going to get worse unless we're able to step in and help take care of that. We also know, right, with periodontal disease, it's going to progress into other oral health complications, and then potentially even other just overall body health complications, right? So if we can help a patient just get healthier by talking to their values, right, explaining the treatment and letting them know that it is a disease and we want to help them get healthy, that's going to give us a better job satisfaction. And then, as you said, right, hygienists, they want to make more. And don't we all, right? So one way that we can do that is let's continue to talk about these benefits. And the higher percentage we have, as we said, it's going to help the practice become more profitable.
Yeah. And some dentists are afraid of that because it might fall into a commission-based type deal where some hygienists, and that's usually the exception to the rule. We don't see that a lot. If you do see it, it's important to point it out as a dentist and say, hey, look, their health is the most important factor. But I'll tell you, just starting the path of measuring these numbers. Now, I'm also going to ask you, Ariel, how do we track these numbers later on? You can maybe tell us how to do that. But as you start to do this, you're going to see everything gets better. Your patient's health gets better. One of the things we didn't talk about is the schedule gets better. And I'm really thinking, like, how does the schedule get better? Well, when you have a perio block, think about this. If you have regular perio blocks, you can schedule them on Tuesdays opposite of your operatory. You can actually have a quiet morning where no one interrupts you and you can focus on one patient. There's multiple benefits to doing this the right way. The whole focus of this show is to show you what some of the best practices do. And when you honor those blocks, keep them, and you're really good at verbal skills, you're going to see you're going to have some of the most amazing mornings. Forget about what they produce. You're going to love those mornings, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest complaints is I'm tired of doing so many hygiene exams.
Right.
And say, well, I can't eliminate hygiene exams, but what we can do is schedule it strategically so that you don't have to have four hygiene exams every hour. Add in those perio maintenance blocks, add in the scaling and root planing blocks. And that gives yourself time, like you said, of, hey, I can't get up in with this procedure. Perfect. We don't need you to, right? We've designed our schedule to flow that works for the entire practice. And your hygienists like it too, because they're not waiting on you to come and do their hygiene exam.
Yeah. Some of you need a shock collar. We've pushed that button so many times. but really, bottom line, we say this all the time. Like, there are people that fix teeth and there are people that change lives. When you lean into this, you're going to see you're going to be changing people's lives. And so, Ariel, also, let's talk about numbers. Give us a little benchmark. What are some of the numbers that we see with acceptance percentages?
I think, right, if we're diagnosing a healthy amount, we know that not every single patient is going to accept treatment. So you want to give yourselves, right, a buffer. So we say anywhere that's greater than 80% of acceptance, your team's doing awesome, right? You are able to communicate. You are able to speak to their values, right? Talk about the importance, and the patients are really valuing your care that you provide.
Yeah, I love it. So just to review, number one, the first number hygienists must track is periodontal diagnostic percentage. Number two, periodontal treatment acceptance percentage. And what's number three, Ariel?
Number three, we're going to pull it all together and it's going to be our periodontal visit percentage, right? So now we've diagnosed it, we've accepted it. Now, overall, what does our entire hygiene program look like and how much of that is with perio? So not just active perio, right? But in that maintenance phase. So any sort of appointment that goes into it, we want to track that as a percentage for it. And I'll just go ahead and say, we want 35 to 45% of your hygiene visits should be perio related.
Okay, go back to that. This is one of my favorite. Now, 31 years of doing this and overseeing a lot of these practices and watching the numbers that we track. So just to give you some insight, I'll pull you into what we do. When a coach, a great coach like Ariel comes into your practice, it's not measuring 1,000 numbers, you know. We will measure a lot of the numbers that are important, but what we really do and help you with as a team is picking a few that really matter, that are important, that help the practice get healthier. And this is often, now you're going to have to correct me, you know, this is often where a lot of great practices that have been through COI, Spear, Panky, Dawson, Seattle Study Club, they've been great places. And this number is actually quite low. In quarter over quarter, when it goes from 3%, yes, I did say 3%, to 9%. Can you just talk about that journey, Ariel, on this number?
Well, a lot of it, right, goes back to that we don't believe that your hygienist or you, yourself is not treating it. It goes to, are we coding it properly? And do we have the space in the schedule for it? So when it is, like you said, that 3%, a lot of the time, it's we just don't have anywhere to put them.
Right.
Or we've seen that you've stopped taking new patients and now you're not bringing in the new perio percentage. So your hygiene team is just, you know, it's staying stagnant. So that's why we have to continue to bring in those new patients so that we can treat new periodontal disease.
Yeah. So talk about why it's so important to the practice and the hygienist with this number.
Well, I mean, we kind of went into it, right? For those doctors, right? If we have a balanced hygiene department with the correct proportion of perio visits, overall, the schedule is going to be more smooth with our hygiene exams, and we'll also have higher revenue. Right? Scaling and root planing, perio maintenance, they are higher value appointments because we are doing more work and we should be getting paid for them.
Yeah. And then as a hygienist, why does this matter to me? Why should I care?
Right, because you want to make sure that, I mean, we all want to do the best that we can. And if you're treating perio appropriately, you're at the top of your license, right? You are contributing to the practice growth and it helps with your time management, right? Often you are over-treating, right, during a preventative recall. So you're going to give yourself more time that you need with correct diagnosis, with correct coding, right, with correct scheduling. And who doesn't want a little bit, you know, correct scheduling? If you need an hour, you need an hour. But how many times are we saying, oh, I did my best, or I didn't get it done in time? To me, that says we're probably over-treating for what we are coding and scheduling for.
Yeah, I love it. And again, one of your favorite things, no matter what you do, is helping people that you serve create some progress. So when you see some people, now it doesn't have to be perfect, but if this number goes up quarter over quarter, you're going to see there are going to be patients. You've been talking forever. They never did this. And now they're going to do it. And you're like, what just happened? Well, we've been intentional about having conversations around this. Now, I have to ask you, Ariel, I'm a hygienist. These patients have been in 30 times. I've mentioned it to them. Am I going to keep bringing this up every single time? And I already know what they're going to say. They're going to say no. So you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. Can you just speak to that real quick?
It is hard, right? Yeah. If you're like, well, Kirk's coming in, he's not going to accept. Why do I even bother? Because they are coming to you for your professional experience. And right. So yes, I think that, you know, ethically and legally, we do have to tell them every single time, so that, because if we stop talking about it, guess who stops thinking about it?
Right.
The patients are like, well, she didn't say anything this time. Maybe I got better.
Yeah. Right? And let's just go there. Perio's not going away. Everybody's got numbers on this. If you've been doing dentistry for 3 decades, you don't come to work and go, wow, no perio today, no perio tomorrow, no perio next week. These patients, that bone loss fixed itself. I'm being facetious, but like, you know how this works. The benchmark is 35 to 45% of your hygiene visits should be perio related. But Ariel, let's talk about the general public. Like, how many people have some form of perio disease?
Well, in my area, we're all pretty healthy. But the data shows that over half of the population who are 30 years and older have some sort of perio disease. And so, right. And then we know that as we get older, it rises and continues. Population 65 and older, you can get all the way up to 65, 70% of them have some sort of periodontal disease that we should be treating.
Right. So what you're saying is half the population in the United States, let's just go there, has some type of perio, but yet in my practice of 2,500 patients, only 3% of my procedures are perio related. So you can see the disconnect there. There's a lot of opportunity, and all we're asking is just pay attention to it. Most of all, the conversations we have around numbers are just, let's just pay attention to it. Let's accurately measure it. Let's do it consistently and ask the question, what does this mean? And just by doing that alone, you're going to see there's going to be so much opportunity for your patients to get healthier, the practice get healthier, and you as a leader to get healthier. So, all right. So that's number three. What is number four as far as numbers hygienists should track?
We definitely should be tracking their production per visit. So this is going to let us know that when a patient is in the chair, how well are we taking care of this patient per each appointment, right? So it's going to matter of how efficient we are, right, to help with the financial success. And are we providing those additional services that patients can benefit from?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a hygienist, let's go there. So my production per visit, what does that mean to me and why should I be measuring that?
Well, that means, right, the higher that is, that means the healthier your patients are. That means the more valuable you are to the practice, right? And like you said, financially, there's definitely more opportunity. And if your patients are probably happier because they are healthier, right? They're receiving the additional treatments such as fluoride, laser, sealants, right? Because they're being very preventative.
Yeah, even fluoride. So that comes up a lot. Like fluoride, it's amazing. Now, I know what you're thinking as a dentist. All of my hygienists charge for fluoride, but you would be shocked by how many practices don't even do that. They're terrified to do it. So can you just speak on that alone?
Well, they're terrified to ask because they don't want to be denied.
Right.
They don't want to be turned down.
Yeah.
You just have to ask.
Yeah. Or not ask. Steve Spitz, Dr. Steve Spitz, he believes in it so much. He's like, I don't even ask. I just ask, what flavor do they want? So now everybody has their own philosophy on this, but he's an incredible dentist and he believes in it so strongly. And he's also like, patients don't want it. I totally honor that. So it's not a black or white type of thing, but I'm going to guide you to the right solution to help you keep these teeth for a long time. Now, let's talk about benchmarks as far as production per visit. This is an important one too, because a lot of times when the production per visit conversation comes up, it's totally isolated on the dentist, but it's really important to have this conversation in hygiene. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the benchmarks, you know, what is a good production per visit? It's going to depend on your mix of patient base and mix of payer base, right? So we are going to see that PPO practices, they're naturally going to have a lower PPV, right? Production per visit, than a fee for service office. But on average, we can see anywhere from $150 to $200 per visit for our routine hygiene. And then for our fee-for-service offices, right, that have a really good perio program, we can see from $250 to $400 per visit. So there's a wide range. Like I said, it does depend on your payer mix, right? We know that there's definitely some insurance adjustments that go into it, but doesn't mean that we can't be providing that additional healthcare services.
Yeah, and just the overarching theme here is as you do better for the patients and you let your vision guide you as a dentist, you have to have these clinical conversations. We like to call them clinical calibration conversations with your hygiene team, because the other opportunity here is you've had hygienists that work with you for a long time, but they really don't understand your clinical philosophy on what it means to create optimal oral health for patients. So that's a great opportunity. And when you start to do that, these conversations are all outside the framework of PPO conversations. They start moving in that direction. People are going to start to choose care. They're going to come to you because of you. So again, I could spend a half an hour talking about the benefits of just tracking these numbers alone, but I want you as a dentist to understand it's not about the money. Your job mostly is to help your team understand the why. And the why has got to be bigger than us just making money. So that's number four. Let's talk about number five that hygienists should track.
So number five, right? We are taking care of our patients when we're in the office. We're diagnosing it. We're accepting it. We're treating it. Then are we continuing to get the patients back in the chair? So you would want to track your hygiene reappointment percentage. So if they're in today for a hygiene appointment, are they scheduling for another hygiene appointment, right? We don't want them to be one and done. We want them to continue to stay in our hygiene program so that they can continue to get healthier or maintain any progress that they've made. So you're going to want to look at this, like I said, of are they in the office and did they reschedule to come back and see you?
Yeah, on the day that they were in the office. So let's clarify that. Now, this is one of my favorite areas, so keep us on the rails in this. Hygiene reappointment percentage. Now, this is my journey in this. When we started tracking this with the help of Dental Intel, it was powerful. Here's why. Some hygienists that I've known, and you know who you are, so don't be mad at me when I say this. So I remember having one conversation with two hygienists in an amazing practice we were coaching. I said, you should be tracking hygiene reappointment percentage. And I'm like, why? Because we reschedule all of them. I'm like, nobody does. You shouldn't. Because number one, you got a few crazies and you should free them up. Not every patient is a good patient for your practice. And you're not required by law to see them again. So you should never be at 100%. So that's one thought. The second thought is, you know, there are patients that you lose every day and you don't even know it. So I challenged the one hygienist and I was terrified. So I'm like, okay, so you didn't get two of them yesterday. And she goes, okay, Mr. Smart Guy, where were they? And I said, I can't remember the patient's name, but I said, Mrs. Finelli, that's my fictitious patient I use. I said, Mrs. Finelli at 11 o'clock was not reappointed. This is what she said. Oh my gosh, whatever. That is one of our favorite patients. She was tight on time. She had to leave. She was going out of the country. She's good. Give me the next one. And I said, Mrs. Brown at 1 o'clock did not reappoint. And I just scoffed at me. She's like, Oh my God. Are you kidding me? She has known the doctor since second grade. They have gone to school together. They're like super tight. Their families get together. And she didn't reappoint. She didn't have her schedule. So that happens every day in great practices all over the country. Two amazing patients are now floating in the universe. You see that? If you're watching the video, I just put up my, I'd say balloons. In the universe, unattached or untethered to the practice. When you measure this and you report it the next day, however you do it, if you're a great hygienist, you don't want to say, yep, 70% killing it. No, you're going to want to say I was at 90%. So you're going to give us some benchmarks here in a second, Ariel. But like, I think it's really important to do this. And I'm going to give you a tip. One of my favorite things to do, it's called the seatbelt. I've mentioned it before in the podcast. The seatbelt is the patient bib. Leave the bib on the patient. Don't let the patient touch the bib. If the patient tries to touch the bib, say, don't touch it. Don't touch it. No one touches the bib. Because the second you take off the bib, they have the most amazing swim technique that they can get right through the offensive line and make it right out the front, not even pay, get right into their car and drive away faster than you can say bye. So when you put the bib on, you know, leave it on until you get the next appointment scheduled. So reappointment is crazy important in this. You have to. Now, I'm also going to say pick the right patients. So, and what am I leaving out, Ariel?
Well, I'm catching up because I'm still stuck on how you put swimming into football. I was like, wait, swimming and offensive line.
I know.
Two different sports.
You'll see. But this is okay. Why I surround myself with great people, because I'm all over the board here, and it's getting towards the end of the day.
Well, I think you mentioned it, right? Like, back to your two great patients who leave the office without rescheduling. Life happens. They forget, right? They come back from vacation. And let's be honest, the last thing they're thinking about when they come back from vacation is scheduling their hygiene appointment. And we also know, let's say that they do. We also know that many of our teams are scheduled pretty far out in hygiene right now, right? We just know that there is a capacity, right? We know that that's a struggle. So if patients are not scheduling when they're in the office, they are going to be off track in their health. And it's just the way, that's the fact of it is, right? So that's one way that you can really help patients say, hey, to continue and to ensure that we stay on track with your health, I want to go ahead and get it rescheduled for you right now before you leave.
Love
it. It's going to help with that retention. It's going to help with that revenue, right? It's going to prevent those costly gaps. And I'll tell you, for the hygienists, you want to keep your schedule full, because I know that they don't like sitting there, right, without a patient. Reschedule your own patients, because that's the only guarantee that they're going to end up back in your schedule. If you let them go and you let them call back, the admin team are going to do the best that they can. But let's be honest, they're taking a phone call. They don't know this patient. They're going to have to look at their chart. They're going to put them in wherever it may be. And it may not be with you. It may be with another hygienist. So keep your patient base with you. Keep rescheduling them back.
Yeah, that's so important you said that, because number one, when you hand it off to the front, you're passing the responsibility, the buck, of somebody else maintaining your schedule, and you shouldn't do that. And you know these patients best. You know why they should come back, and you can establish why. You can say to Mrs. Finelli, listen, I got to keep you on our schedule. Our practice is very busy. Obviously, I'd love referrals and sending people, but I got to keep you on my schedule so we can help you keep those beautiful teeth for the rest of your life. So I'm going to put it in the schedule, and we consider all appointments confirmed when scheduled. So I'm happy to remind you if you want, but I'm going to be here and you are going to be here. See how I sound really tough? I'm a wuss in real life. But I've watched some of the hygienists in New York and San Francisco talk that way. They're straight shooters. They're like, listen, I'm putting you in the schedule. You're not going to cancel. Here's the deal. I get it. Things come up. I need a couple days in advance if there's a schedule change, but I'm going to make sure that you are healthy. And part of that is making sure that you're in your schedule. There's a difference between commitment and compliance. Compliance is this. Any questions? No. I'm going to schedule you. Great. I'm going to make sure you're committed to the appointment before you leave this office. And I'm going to relieve the front, you know, admin team member from doing that. So good stuff. Now, give us some benchmarks on this. Ariel, what's a good number for us to be at?
I think to be healthy, right, and to say, okay, are we getting our patients back in the schedule? You're going to want to be right about that 90 percentile range. Like you said, you don't want everyone to reschedule. We know that We know that college kids are off on vacation, right? Or they're going off to school. We don't know when they'll be back. You know, the occasional one parent brought the children and the other parent's the one that does the scheduling. We want to account for that. So I would say 90% will tell you like you're doing a really good job. And anything above that, I mean, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. And it's bigger than just the role in hygiene or the patient. Think about this too. You know how you build a great practice? It's one day at a time with one great patient at a time. And if you can think about that and how hygiene reappointment percentage is so important, you're picking and choosing your best patients to occupy the schedule in advance. It is never good to be booked out a year in advance in hygiene. It's just not. You don't even know who's in there. And so be smart about your schedule. Keep those percentages high. And again, same thing as we said last time, share best practices. You're going to have some hygienists that are at 92%. Some of them at 78%. Don't make the hygienists feel bad at 78%. We have opportunity. And what a great team meeting we can have. Order in Jimmy John's and talk about like what's making these numbers different. What are you saying? What are you saying? So it's great stuff. Cool. So Ariel, I want you to give us some final takeaways, some final thoughts on this. This is a big conversation. A lot of dentists don't do this, but bring this home for us.
Well, I think I just want to remind everyone that tracking these metrics are going to allow for us to see how healthy and how well we are taking care of our patients, right? They're going to ensure that our standard of care that we've created in our periodontal protocols are being followed and they're being effective. And if we're not tracking it, we don't know that, right? So this is the only way to hold our team members accountable for their role in that patient care. And if we are struggling, like you said, we can course correct. We can do some training. We can come together on alignment and collaboration. And if we are doing great, awesome. Celebrate our successes. Tell those patient stories of, hey, you know, Miss Smith came in and this is what it was. And then today she finished up her perio maintenance appointment and she's come miles of improvement, right? She's walking out smiling. Those are all the fun stories, but you won't know that unless you're tracking and seeing how well our patients are getting healthy.
Yeah. And now the tracking, you mentioned tracking. So if I can't, how do I track all these? What do I do? Do you have a spreadsheet? Do you have a program? Like, how do I ask my hygienist to track these five numbers? What would you say?
Well, in a perfect world, I would say that we would use an analytics dashboard, right? So we partner with Dental Intel. So a lot of our teams find these metrics very easy because we don't want it to be complicated, right? They are seeing patients hopefully all day and we want it to be quick and easy. But if not, just there's simple reports that you can run within your software and you can manually track them if need be. But I would say most of these are just done by, you know, quickly looking at your schedule, pulling a report. And I would say how to track them once you have the number. We use our 90-day scorecard. Teams love it so that they can see trends week over week, right? Because we know that one week you may be fluctuating high or fluctuating low, but we want to see what is the trend. So that's where I would say, you know, have a data-driven hygiene department, have them monitor it, right? Have them take ownership of it so they can improve those patient outcomes.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. Ariel, thank you so much. That was amazing. And as you can see, this is so much fun. I just surround myself with great coaches, brilliant people who actually know what they're talking about. So if you're struggling with this as a dentist, don't struggle. We've got some amazing resources back in the Best Practices Association. You can start the journey for free and then you can upgrade. You can be part of the community. You can come to the To the Top Study Club, which is our group coaching program. Or if you just tried everything, you're like, I've tried everything. This still isn't working. And can you just help me do it? That's where we have our pro coaching program where you can work with somebody like Ariel who come out and just make you do it and get it done and talk to your team in a way that you can't talk to them. We have a coach. My coach, Jamie, can say things to me no one else can say. Like, it's pretty cool. So it's good to be held accountable yourself. We also partner with Katrina Sanders. And I don't know if you've ever seen Katrina Sanders, but we have an amazing program. She does continuous programs with us, but we have actually a two-part program. It's the Hygiene Exam Essentials Part 1. And it's also, we also have the Hygiene Exam Essentials Part 2. And that is in BPA Basic. So here's what I want you to do. If you're listening to the podcast, just go to your apps, whether it be on Google Play or you're in the Apple store and search Best Practices Association. You're going to see. It's free. Go back there, click it, download the app, and you'll be able to see those two courses. If you can't find them, you can email us at info@actdental.com, or you can talk to Courtney on our team, and she'll help you. She's like an amazing therapist, concierge back there. She'll help you every step of the way. Our job, again, is to help you create a better practice and a better life. And with over 900 episodes of the podcast, we got 9,000 more to go. We love this stuff. So if you guys keep showing up, we're going to keep bringing it. Ariel, thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. If you enjoyed today, do us a favor. Share this with a friend. Keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see, and we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.